Hi, it's Mark Bittman, and welcome to Food. I'm recording this intro, not the podcast itself, or not the interview, from Rome, which I wrote about last week in our newsletter, The Bittman Project, which you can find at bittmanproject.com. And you can also feel free to reach out to us at food@markbittman.com. We will respond to your rants, raves, criticisms, love, suggestions, whatever you'd like to say. We'd like to hear it. Okay, back in a sec.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
As I said, I'm recording this from Rome, and I am happy to be introducing an interview with Kate Mee and former Ohio Representative Tim Ryan, recent senatorial candidate. We will talk about that a little bit. I met Representative Ryan about 8 or 10 years ago when he reached out to me when I was a columnist at the Times. And we talked about food, but we also talked about some of his other interests, which we will get into here. He is a well-rounded, decent, really wonderful individual, great guy with very good politics, especially when it comes food. Very lovable, warm, charismatic, sort of like how you'd picture the popular kid in high school, which he was, but the popular kid who wasn't a bully or a jerk. The true, well, one doesn't want to say all-American, but a good guy. Tim has had an interesting life and is still pretty young, so continues to develop. He grew up Catholic, is still Catholic practicing, and has very thoughtful things to say about that. Played high school football, as I said, sort of the popular kid. But in any case, the quarterback, was meant to play in college, but was derailed, of course, by a knee injury. Old story, right? Basically went into politics instead, became the youngest congressman of his generation. And we talk about this transition, about his interest in food and his work in food, what he's up to now, and many other things. The conversation runs the gamut. I'm sorry, I'm heartbroken that Tim's not in the Senate, because he would have been terrific, and we can hope that that will happen someday. I think my feeling is if you know Tim, if you listen to Tim, you will love him, and I'm looking forward to you hearing this conversation with me, Kate Bittman, and Tim Ryan. Here we are. Hello, handsome.
How are you, buddy? Hi, Kate. Good. Hi, Tim. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too.
Dad, you're so cute.
Well, we know each other.
Oh, Dad, you're so cute.
It was sweet.
What are you drinking over there? Some health food drink?
Yeah, some protein power something my wife got. I pulled out two big things of oatmeal, like cinnamon, sugar, oatmeal that I was going to do. And I said, fuck. Let me go do the right thing here.
Not while I'm talking to Mark.
The oatmeal was a good idea.
I had lunch with Mark Hyman the other day, and I got him in the back of my head like, oatmeal, that's just a bunch of carbs. You don't need that. I said,
that's ridiculous. On. Oatmeal's good for you. I have to have that fight with him.
Well, it is, but not the kind I buy with all the sugar in it.
Right.
Let's dance, baby.
We have many questions, but and we're all well organized and stuff, but I just have to ask you what you're doing with yourself before we get started.
I'm doing a lot of different things. I'm kind of in the clean energy space is kind of where I am right now. I just kind of fell into it. I'm working for a clean energy tech company that's got a couple of really cool breakthrough technologies that I'm helping with around, reducing carbon output and reducing CO2 and all that good stuff. I'm working with some of the people in the natural gas industry to help us displace coal and oil. You know, it's kind of moving in the transition of the cleaner tech, so more of a portfolio of natural gas with clean tech, while we continue to research some of the other breakthrough technologies. But, you know, it's amazing. People don't realize how many countries around the world are still cranking out lots of coal-fired power plants. And so, you know, I get a little bit of backlash of people with, you know, what are you doing with the natural gas people? And it's like, well, we got to get rid of coal and oil. And the first step in doing that really is through natural gas. So I'm having a ball, though. I really am. I feel like in some ways I escaped the hostage situation. But I'm having a great time. And I coached my 8-year-old's basketball team this year. And it was really funny. Like 3 weeks after the election, you know, I had been doing debates on major issues and, you know, high profile Senate race that could potentially swing the Senate one way or the other. And 3 weeks later, I'm sitting on the bench and in the this is 8-year-old, not eighth grade, 8-year-old. The coach is out on the middle of the court screaming at the referee. He gets technicals. The athletic director comes over and yells at him, Mark. And I'm sitting there thinking, boy, my life has changed a lot in 3 weeks.
Tim, we want to hear your backstory because it's so cool. You were the youngest Democrat in the House when you were elected in 2003 at 29 years old. Before that, you were a high school and college quarterback. So can you walk us through these transitions a little and tell us how politics happened?
Yeah, sure. There really is a natural kind of through line. I grew up just outside of Youngstown, Ohio, northeast area of the state, and grew up playing sports and went to Catholic school for 13 years. And throughout that time, I was a pretty decent athlete, at least in my world. And there was always kind of that. Those were like the two things that really shaped me. It was my kind of love of athletics and sports and the competition. And then I really enjoyed being Catholic. I liked growing up Catholic. I was an altar boy, you know, and people now, you know, it was a much different like time for being Catholic or being religious. Like nobody was talking about all these rules of, you know, abortion and this and that and all, you know, gay marriage and all that stuff that we kind of have dealt with in the last, you know, few years. It was all about the social gospel. It was all about being a good person. It was all about service. You know, my grandfather was an usher. My grandmother was in the rosary group. My mom was always volunteering for the church festival and whatever else was going on. So it was straight service. There was no real dogma coming down. And so in a lot of contemplation, a lot of rosaries and, you know, kind of that's kind of where I ended up, I think, gravitating towards meditation and yoga and those kind of things. And those seeds were all planted growing up and playing sports. And then I got to high school and was the quarterback of the team. And, you know, we had to put on our jerseys and we would have to go out into the community and do service. It was senior service, was part of our gig at John F. Kennedy High School. And so you had the kind of the backdrop of President Kennedy and his challenge to service and all of that. And so it was awesome. And that really, when I went to college and on a scholarship to Youngstown State to play quarterback, and I blew my knee out. And it was Jim Tressel was there at the time. He went on to win a national title at Ohio State, and he recruited me. I blew my knee out, and it was one of those, you know, moments, inflection points in someone's life where it's like, well, what the hell am I going to do now? Like, my identity was completely wrapped into, I was a quarterback. I was going to play for the Cleveland Browns, and I was going to be the guy to win them a Super Bowl. And that's just where my head was. And I just flipped the politics. I had met the congressman of our area who ended up in prison, but he was a quarterback.
Your role model.
Yeah. Well, you know, you can learn what not to do from some people too, Mark, you know that. And he was a quarterback. He went to Catholic school. He was a very charismatic guy. Jim Trafficant was his name. And he was at my football banquet my senior year in high school. And he said, hey, if you ever, you know, want to do an internship or something in DC, let me know. And I just had his card lying around, and I'm, you know, have busted up knee and, you know, just heartbroken and not sure what I was going to do. And I saw the card laying there, and I said, well, maybe I'll call the congressman and see. And I got an internship, caught the political bug, and kind of the rest is history. But it was that line of like leadership, being a quarterback, being okay with being on the front page of the paper if things were good, and being able to deal with the fact that you're going to be on the front page of the paper if you threw an interception in front of 5,000 people and lost the game, like building those kind of emotional skills. But the service piece was pretty consistent. And I really saw politics as a way to serve and to help and to lead. And it all kind of came together through my 20 years in Congress.
I love how precise your storyline is. It feels like such a natural path, but if you think about it, like when I was like, how did he go from sports to politics? It's not like you could figure it out as just sort of looking at it. But when you explain it, it makes so much sense.
You know, always looking back, I think it's, you know, it has a little more clarity sometimes in the rearview mirror. But just following that kind of instinct was pretty natural.
Where are you with Catholicism now?
I love Pope Francis. I'm really, you know, was less enthusiastic about his predecessor, but I love how Pope Francis is trying to steer the church. I've been in politics long enough to know that he's sending a lot of these cultural cues and messaging, which has to happen well before you start changing any of the dogma. But I'm just, you know, thrilled with his leadership. It's a very, very powerful religion. I mean, I think the mythology of death and resurrection in our daily lives is a really, really powerful one. You know, we're always dying and rising, you know, in some ways. I lost an election, right? My political career in some sense died, but I feel like I've, you know, found a new lease on life, and I've got all this new energy and freedom. And it's like, that was a death and a resurrection of sorts. And I think keeping that in mind, with not getting too caught up on the story of is it real or not, but using the lessons, you know, very much a big Joseph Campbell fan, how Campbell would articulate these, how powerful these myths are if you don't get stuck on them.
Interesting. We met because of food. You were doing good work on food in the house, and you and I, when you and I met, we appreciated what each other were doing. I wonder what, you know, as an outsider now, what you think, what legislative priorities ought to be, what you think is achievable, and what you think we should be striving to have our representatives doing, and also what you think people's priorities on food ought to be.
I feel like, you know, in a lot of ways, some of the policies are moving in the right direction. In the last agriculture appropriations bill, you know, more money for conservation, more money for you know, moving slowly into regenerative agriculture, using tools like cover crops and those kind of things to sequester carbon to help with climate. But I think we are moving in that direction, not nearly, you know, as quickly as we probably need to be. I still think we've dropped the ball on, you know, the intensity where we could have urban agriculture help combat a lot of the issues with food deserts and just the sickness that's happening in so many areas of the country, just that could be addressed with diet. You know, over the years, met guys like you, met a lot of the people in like functional and holistic medicine, like Mark Hyman and others, about really how important food can be, and then the whole food is medicine movement. And so I just think we've got to figure out how to build the coalitions and elevate this whole movement. And it needs to be the healthcare people. It needs to be the ag people. I think a lot of the leaders in the Black community, Latino community, you know, who are looking for solutions on health and wellness for people who live in some of these communities. So we got a lot of work to do, but it's got to be a comprehensive approach. And I'm hoping that the new farm bill is an opportunity for us to speed that up a little bit. But we're fighting against a mindset that is, you know, straight subsidies for the old crops and just leave it at that. And there was this deal that was always like, you know, the Democrats get the SNAP program, the food stamp program, and the nutrition program, and the Republicans get the subsidies for the farmers, and we just pass it. And that was the coalition that was put together a long time ago. And it was smart because that's what was needed, but it's not meeting the challenge of sickness that we have today. It's not meeting the challenge of climate that we have today, and just general health and well-being today.
It's like if you open that can of worms, the farm bill, then you're opening, you know, the Republicans are going to say, okay, well, we're willing to discuss anything, including cuts and SNAP. And then you're in trouble because cuts and SNAP is a non-starter, or should be a non-starter.
Yeah. I mean, it's, and this is part of like what's broken. I mean, it's broken in the country because we cannot have the level of conversation that's needed to solve the level of problems that we have. And these are very complicated problems, but clearly all these systems are broken. I mean, it's just like the food system's broken, the ag system's broken, the healthcare system's broken, the education system's broken. And like, we need to have these super high levels conversations for brokering what needs to be the new systems to emerge. And if you can't have those conversations, you know, we're going to, you know, F you and F you and F you and F you. And then it's like, I'm Irish. I get that. There's a certain appeal that has for me, but that's not, certainly not the responsible thing. And that's what I think we've got to get through, is like, some of these solutions are free market based. Some of these solutions are government based. How do we have the conversation as to what is what? How do we use the innovation and power of the free market and somehow transfer that to our government policies, where we actually can monitor the results of the programs that we have? Because some really don't work. And I know a lot of Democrats defend the indefensible, but it's like, look, we blow a lot of money. Like, the intentions may be good, but it doesn't get to where we need. How are we spending all of this money and we're still stuck with the poverty issues that we have, the healthcare issues that we have? So the answer clearly is not the money we spend on housing. And I just, like, have been traveling a lot the last couple months, and, you know, I'm in Seattle, and, you know, there's tents going down the road of all the homeless people there. It's been obviously, you know, LA and San Francisco and some of these other big cities, we see it as well. Like, how are we spending all of this money and we still haven't been able to, you know, move the needle on some of this stuff? It's just, it's insane. And so, you know, to me, not to get too far afield here, but for me, it's like, I've been around long enough to see underneath, like, the national toxic conversation about all the nonsense that we don't want to talk about right now, are people who are solving problems and have really cool pilot programs, really cool initiatives going on. And how do you highlight those, juice them up and expand them and amplify them? I think that's going to be the challenge moving forward.
Thank you for that, Tim. It's nice to hear a semi-hopeful outlook.
We'll be right back with more from Tim Ryan.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tim, now we know for a fact that you eat those packets of oatmeal that have like built-in apples and cinnamon and brown sugar, right? Yeah. So you put it in a mug, you put it in the microwave. I'm pretty sure that's what you're doing. But you also believe in food as medicine. So I feel like it ties in beautifully to the rest of your story, but do you want to talk a little bit about what it means to you?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, obviously 20 years in Congress on the Appropriations Committee, like my view of the world really is a lot now colored by what the policies are around things like this. And to see healthcare costs go up so dramatically, to see Medicare, Medicaid eat up more and more and more of the federal budget, to see the increase in healthcare costs continue to go up, to eat up more of a business's budget that they can't invest into job training, they can't invest into research and development or new ideas or pensions or retirement security for their workers and all of that, you start to like think about, okay, what are the solutions here? And then having some view of the world, and you know, my grandma Rizzi's, you know, they lived to be 89 years old because of, I think they largely ate a lot of really fresh food and, you know, manage their stress and all the rest, but really seeing like just eating food as opposed to the fake food, that the highly processed food that is out there could make a world of difference for people. Just that simple step. I mean, it gets you into the argument of, you know, we're not producing food with as much nutritional value as we used to because of what's happened to the soil and all the rest. But it's still a major step moving from, you know, potato chips to healthy food from the garden and fruits and vegetables and, you know, that kind of thing.
I don't think of that stuff so much as food as medicine, as just sort of eating normal food as opposed to eating stuff that really doesn't meet the definition of food.
Yeah.
I mean, if the definition of food is a substance that makes you healthier, which is the definition of food, is a substance that nourishes you, and the definition of nourishment is providing health, then half of what we eat is not really food. So it's not so much, I mean, the food is medicine thing, I'm okay with it, but I think it makes it sound a little clinical. I think what it really is that if you eat real food, you're way better off than if you don't. It sort of boils down to something as simple as that.
Yeah, and tying in, you know, again, thinking about this from a comprehensive place, tying in, you know, the health programs in our schools, school gardens, you know, it's not some soft mamby-pamby liberal kind of, oh, we got to, you know, have school gardens for our kids. And no, it's about teaching them how to grow their own food, and then kitchens in the schools to teach them how to cook and prepare, you know, the old home economics classes. And I just think teaching people this, weaving that into the health curriculum in our schools, bringing school gardens, making it a real thing, I think teaches so many different things in addition to food, in addition to how to cook. But the idea that you got to plant a seed, or you got to plant a, you know, a small plant and watch it grow, and over time, it teaches you patience. It teaches you an understanding that things don't come easy. You don't, you know, throw it in the microwave and cook it up in 1 minute, you know, or you ask a kid, where's this tomato come from? And they say a grocery store. Like, they'll have a general sense of, you know, how to do it. And by all accounts, it's healthier. It's good for the soul to be out in a garden and, you know, interacting with the earth and getting a little dirt on your hands and, you know, kind of connecting in that way with nature. So it has multiple benefits.
To go back to politics for just one more second, you gave up a congressional seat you'd held for almost 20 years to run for Senate, lost for kind of all the wrong reasons that are pretty complicated, but was the sad truth at the end of the day. It was a sad truth. And, you know, so we lost. I mean, when I say we, people on the right side of these kinds of arguments lost not only a potential great senator, but an existing great congressman. I'm just wondering what your plans are. Are you planning to go back in? Are you running for president in 2024? Are you running for Senate? Are you running for Congress? No. Are you done? What are you thinking?
You know, I don't know. I'm done for the foreseeable future, for sure. You know, it's like I've put my career and public service ahead of my family for, you know, 10 years. And, you know, it's time to put them first for a while and, you know, make a little bit of money, and got kids in college now and be home more. And Brady will be 9 in June, so I don't want to miss much of what he's doing. So for the foreseeable future, you know, I'm going to try to stay engaged a little bit, but won't be running anytime soon. But we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens in a few years. You know, maybe there's an opportunity to do something and feel like I could make a difference. And I like, you know, I'm doing some business stuff now, and I'm really enjoying it. I'm enjoying learning about, you know, how businesses operate, run, grow. I think there's a lot of political skills that I've developed that are very applicable to, you know, growing a kind of a startup company, and positioning it and raising money for it and, you know, branding it, marketing it, and talking about the impact that it could have. Like, a lot of those skills are very transferable, and I'm really enjoying it, because I do think, and I have think that the part of the problem in the country now is a lot of the businesses are fucking irresponsible. You know, they're irresponsible, greedy corporations that could be doing a lot of good, and they don't, and they don't really care. Now there's a lot of really good ones too, you know, and I want to be a part of a business that wants to take care of its workers, you know, understands that businesses are supposed to solve problems. Like you were saying, like food, the natural definition of food really is to provide nutrition and, you know, sustain your own life. Well, the reason for businesses to develop originally was to solve an issue in the marketplace. And so now with climate being a major issue and companies wanting to maybe move in a direction of more sustainability, to be a part of providing something for them to be able to solve that problem for them and make money in the process, I like it. It's fun. So I'm enjoying it. And I think if I do go back into politics, Mark, that it will be an additional kind of worldview for me to have if I'm trying to solve these big problems. So to have 20 years in politics and a bunch of business experience, I think could be helpful to the cause too.
Yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. You're uniquely positioned. You should hook up with Edible Schoolyard and create more gardens and schools.
Yeah.
Just thinking about what you said. I mean, when and why did we get rid of home ec? Now I can't stop thinking about it. It makes so much home sense.
Home ec, shop class.
Yeah.
You know, and then you wake up one day and nobody knows how to cook or eat or balance their checkbook. And you wake up one day and our kids don't have the skills they need to go into the building and construction trades. And they try college for 6 months and drop out. And that's not for them. And we lost the pipeline of kids who are super smart but don't want to go to college. And, you know, and shame on us for doing that. And that became part of the elitist mentality. Everybody's got to go to college. We're just going to do service. We don't need to manufacture. It was like all part of this big, like, myth of what America was going to be. And we're all going to move to finance, and Jack Welch and these guys, we're all going to make the world such a better place. And turned out to be an absolute disaster and really wrecked so many communities. And you see it now. I think that whole thing, the economic thing, is what produced a guy like Donald Trump to be able to come in and persuade people who have been, you know, hurt for 30 or 40 years economically. And that whole movement displaced so many workers. And you see it now in deaths of despair, mental health, suicide, addiction. All of these things are, I think, a result of losing your purpose in life, losing your job, you know, downgrading your job from a good paying middle class job with meaning and purpose and a small boat to take your grandkids fishing and enough money to go to a sporting events with your kids, or, you know, help them out if your kid gets divorced or something, you have an extra few bucks to be able to help them through that, to not being able to do that and barely being able to take care of yourself. And I, you know, I lived this growing up in Northeast Ohio. This is what so many people went through. And so losing that purpose in life has led to all of these other things. And then you're left, now we're left as a society to try to pick up the pieces. And so getting rid of those kind of foundational things and moving into, you know, la la land that, you know, we don't need to make anything anymore. And COVID hit, and hopefully people are starting to realize you need to have stuff in your own country to make. And we're uniquely positioned to change with the times and reshore a lot of those jobs.
Yeah. The problem being that when the manufacturing base started to fall apart and bring communities and so on with it, it didn't seem as if Democrats had a better plan than Republicans. And that, I think that led to a lot of alienation. And what Trump did was not provide particular solutions, but just channel particularly white people's anger.
Okay. Let's not give Trump any more airtime. Tim, you joked and you said that you don't cook, but you do cook.
I like to cook.
I just want to point out that you said this because Mark had a kitchen accident while we were talking.
I didn't have a kitchen. I avoided a kitchen accident, actually.
Avoided a kitchen accident. What do you like to cook?
Oh, I like to make a good sauce. In fact, I told my wife last week, I said, you know, now that I'm home a little bit more, I want to like get Sunday dinners going again and like get some sauce. And, you know, we've got like the organic sauce and the, you know, the grass fed meatballs and, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, make some really good healthy sauce and try to do, you know, spaghetti squash or, you know, something, you know, not strictly gluten free, whatever, because we got some gluten issues in the household. And I love making sauce, love cooking on the grill. So just kind of, you know, nothing really super fancy. Love to make fish, love to play some cooking music and open a bottle of wine and just like, you know, shoot the shit with Andrea and the kids. And, you know, now the kids are in college, you know, and love when they come home and we're able to just hang out. And my grandparents, they would always have happy hour. And, you know, they pour a glass of wine and just, you know, everybody just starts telling stories and enjoying each other's company. And grandma would be cooking. And it was just, you know, it's just that kind of connection, that kind of community. And I think food's such a big part of that. And again, we didn't get into it, but when I mentioned teaching kids how to cook, garden cooking, all the rest, that's the other part of it. It's really part of the community. We saw it during COVID. I know you guys saw it when these restaurants were closing down. It was about a lot more than food and going out to dinner. You realize that these restaurants are just, they are embedded in the community. They're such a big part of the community where you can, you know, you go there, you have a drink, you meet after work, you have dinner with your spouse, you have dinner, you know, the chef that comes out, says hello, nice atmosphere, music, you know, it's just like, it's the best. And these guys are just part of, you know, we've got the big competition around here. Who's got the best Italian restaurant? You know, is it Leo's? Is it Vernon's? Is it Salvatore's? You know, is it Acquapazzo?
Like, this is Youngstown.
Yeah. And they all got their own hot peppers and oil, and they all got their own sauce that they sell. And they're all friends. You know, they all work together. They actually advertise on cable together, all the different Italian restaurants. It's really cool, you know, but you realize through the pandemic, it was about a lot more than just the food.
What did you have for dinner last night?
What did I have for dinner last night?
Wait, were you solo parenting last night?
No. My wife was home last night. We ordered in. I had cedar plank fish. So cedar plank salmon, broccoli, asparagus, I think.
Yeah. That sounds good. What do you eat when Andrea's not home, when she goes away? She just went away. You were home with Brady.
I got Brady. I got to pick him up in an hour from school. We'll probably maybe hit some Chick-fil-A. Bachelor life.
You need some lessons. You need some lessons from either your grandmother or me.
Yeah, I got the lessons. It's like I need to choose. I need to choose.
Yeah.
What should I do tonight, Mark? So I got Brady tonight. I got him tomorrow night. I got him Friday night and Saturday night. So tell me, what should I do?
I mean, if you want me to send you some recipes, but I mean, I think you should go to the store and stock up for a few days and set a good example for your young man. Although I know I sound like an asshole saying that, so forget it. You know what the right thing to do is. It isn't Chick-fil-A, I can tell you.
Well, he likes to cook, you know, like if I cook eggs in the morning or he wants to crack the eggs, if we're doing something, he's got his nose in it. He wants to be a part of it. So yeah, send me a couple of recipes.
All right, we'll do that. Thanks for your time, Tim, and for being so open and wide ranging. It's really a pleasure.
Yeah, that was fun.
Now that you've converted us both to Catholicism. We're going to go.
There you go. Well, I think you converted me to something. I'm just not sure what yet. So I'll let you know how it plays out.
Oatmeal.
See, I said no. I looked at it and I said no. Mark, I'll call you when I'm in New York.
Do that, please.
I'll shoot you a text. Kate, yeah, are you definitely there too?
I am.
All right. Cocktails. Happy hour.
Yes, cocktails. I think my husband would have a heart attack if he got to meet you in person. So
let's do it. I love it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, guys. Thank you.
Take care, Tim.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks to Tim Ryan for coming on the show. I always enjoy seeing Tim, talking with him, and this certainly was not an exception. Thanks to my co-host and producer, Kate Bittman, who also obviously had fun in this interview. Thanks to our engineer, as always, Davis Lloyd, and to our intern, Callum Bone, who helped us a lot with this particular episode. You can follow Tim on Twitter at Tim Ryan, that's T-I-M-R-Y-A-N, and on Instagram at Tim Ryan O-H. He's from Ohio. Thanks, everyone, for listening. You can find us at bittmanproject.com or at markbittman.com, and listen again next week when I will be home and when we will have for you somebody awesome. Thanks again. Bye.
Have you ever bought something, owned something that really inspired you to up your game? A tennis racket, a new pair of running shoes, a new piece of cooking equipment that made you just want to cook your brains out. I know that when I first started cooking on induction burners, I just couldn't stop. It was so much fun. When we own exceptional things, they inspire us to do exceptional things. The all-new Lexus GX has an exceptional capability that will have you seeing possibilities you never knew existed. Its advanced technology and luxurious interior mean that wherever you go, you'll never go without. Some of the features that are available on this car include Dynamic Sky Panorama Glass Roof, Front Row Massaging Seats, you know you want that, available 33-inch all-terrain tires, which you will want when you check out the Multi-Terrain Select. These are really great features, the kind of features that will make you proud and happy to own a Lexus GX. Live up to the all-new Lexus GX. Luxury beyond limits. Experience amazing at your Lexus dealer.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.